Now, if you'll open your Bibles again to the 15th chapter of Matthew. A woman of Canaan came to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked Him to heal her daughter. She said in verse 22, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thy Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." This seemed like a reasonable request. It says down in verse 31 that He caused the dumb to speak and the maimed to behold and the lame to walk and the blind to see. He went about doing good. And yet the Scripture says in verse 23 that He turned her away. He answered her not a word. She said, "Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." And the Master did not even reply. Well, it says, as the Scripture goes on, and the disciples came to Him and they said, "Lord, she crieth after us." The woman evidently, when Christ did not reply, did not answer her, went to the disciples and begged them to heal her daughter. Peter, James, and John, she said, "My daughter is so sick. You've healed other girls. You've healed other people. Have mercy on me." And the disciples turned her away also. They came to the Lord and they said, "This woman is worrying us. She won't leave us alone. Send her away." She was rebuked again. She was turned away again by the disciples. And then the Scripture says in verse 24, the Master replied when they said this to Him, "This woman is bothering us. Send her away." The Master said to the disciples in verse 24, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, He said this on another occasion back in Matthew chapter 10. In the 10th chapter of Matthew, verse 5, when He sent the 12 disciples out to preach, He commanded them, saying, "Go not to the Gentiles." Don't take the gospel to the Gentiles. That's what it says in verse 5. "Do not go into any of the cities of Samaria. Enter ye not into any of the cities of the Samaritans. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 declares, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first." To the Jew first. And also to the Gentile. He came unto His own. That's what the Scripture says in John 1. His own there is His own nation, His own people, the Jew. Our Lord was a Jew. And He said to this woman, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." She's turned away again. And then the woman came. In verse 25, it says, "And fell at His feet and worshipped Him. And she cried, Lord, help me." Hear that cry for mercy. She came to Him once and He didn't even answer her. She went to His disciples and they complained that she was worrying them and requested that the Lord would send her away. And being a Gentile, the Master turned and said, "I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," and turned her away again. And then she came and worshipped Him. She fell at His feet. She would not be denied. And she cried in a pitiful way, "Lord, help me." But the Scripture says the Master replied, listen to this, "It is not proper, it is not right to take the children's bread and give it to dogs." That's what the Jews called the Gentiles. They called them dogs. And the master said, it's not right, it's not proper to take children's bread and give it to dogs. She's rebuked again. She's turned away again. But now here is the key passage. And this is the faith that the Lord commended. And this is the perseverance and persistence that the Lord commended. And this is the humility that the Lord commended. He called it great. Even after being rebuked four times in a severe fashion, the first time he just ignored her. Lord, have mercy on me. Master didn't even reply. Then the disciples rebuked her. And then the master said, I'm not sent to the Gentiles. I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then after that pitiful cry, that plea for mercy, Lord, help me. And then to hear him say, it's not proper to give the children's bread to dogs. I want you to listen to all us proud folks ought to hear this. All us folks that believe God owes us something and God ought to be honored to do business with us or have us do business with him. And God ought to sure be honored when we let him save us. Listen to her reply. Lord, that's true. That's true. It's not proper. It's not proper to take the children's bread and give it to a dog. That's absolutely true. And I'm not asking for the children's bread. I'm not asking for the children's bread. I'm asking for the dog's portion. I'm asking for the part that belongs to the dogs, the crumbs. That's all I'm asking. You're the children's master, but you're also the dog's master. And the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And brethren, the woman got what she wanted. And we can learn something from her. And I'm convinced in my heart that we'd better learn this lesson right here. The Lord resisteth the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. The Lord is nigh unto them of a broken heart. The Lord saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. She didn't argue with the master. She pleaded. She didn't claim what she deserved. She begged for mercy. She took her place at his feet as a dog. She gave him his place as the Lord and Master. And she just would not be denied. Now, God doesn't owe me anything. And God doesn't owe you anything except the wages of sin. That's what God owes you, and that's what he owes me. The wages of sin is death. And if God sends me to hell, he'll give me exactly what I deserve. And if God sends you to hell, he'll give you exactly what you deserve. But according to this book, the sinner is to seek the Lord, and the sinner has, in the presence of the Lord, at least an eightfold plea. And I want to give it to you from this passage of Scripture. First of all, the sinner, if there's a sinner here. I don't know whether there's a sinner here or not. You say, everybody here is a sinner. Ask them. Ask them. If you think everybody here is a sinner, you ask them if they're sinners. And I'll guarantee you, every one of them, except those who have had their hearts broken by the Holy Ghost and had revealed to them their guilt and brought to faith in Christ, will give you a qualified answer. Well, I'm not such a bad sinner, or I'm not the greatest sinner, or I'm not the chief of sinners, or I'm not such an evil sinner. They'll all give you a qualified answer. The hardest thing in the world to find is a genuine, bona fide, spirit-convicted, unadulterated, unqualified, guilty sinner. One old hymn writer said, a sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. The most difficult thing in the world to find is a sinner. Every sinner Christ found, He saved. Every one of them. And I'll tell you this, I hope you can understand it. It's so. God's going to save every sinner. There's not a single sinner who's going to be lost. Christ came to save sinners. You can go to the prisons, you can go to the jails, and it's hard to find a sinner there. Everybody there is on a trumped-up charge. Everybody there is there because he doesn't deserve to be. A sinner is a hard thing to find. First of all, a man can plead, if he's a sinner, he can plead his misery. That's the way this woman began. Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed. Grievously vexed. Has your sin ever become grievous to you? Has your sin ever actually become a burden? Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are, what? Heavy laden. Weary. Heavy laden. Grievously vexed by sin. That's the way the leper felt whom Christ healed. He came and cried, Lord, that I might be clean. I don't want to be unclean. I don't want to be filthy. I don't want to be diseased. I want to be clean. His disease was a burden to him. And when sin becomes a burden to a man, when sin becomes a heavy burden, when it becomes grievous to him, that's when he'll seek forgiveness. The blind man came to Christ and he cried, Lord, that I might see. I'm tired of darkness. I don't want to live in darkness. This darkness is a burden to me. It's a grief to me. I'm blind. I want to see. And when the sinner cries, Lord, my sin is a burden. My guilt is a heavy weight. My sin is grievous to me. I'm weary of it, tired of it. And when a man seeks the Lord in that fashion, he'll be heard. Oh, Lord, my daughter is grievously ill. The second thing that a sinner can plead is this. He can plead his inability. The woman could not heal her daughter. The doctors could not heal her daughter. Her friends could not heal her daughter. The disciples could not heal her daughter. She knew there was only one who could heal her daughter, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason she perseveringly and persistently and consistently stayed at His feet. That's the reason she would not leave. The Lord turned to His disciples on one occasion and said, will you go away? They said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Jeremiah said, can the Ethiopian change his skin? No, sir. Can the leper change his spots? No, sir. Can you do good that are born to do evil? No, sir. Can the Ethiopian skin be changed? Yes, sir. Who can change it? The Lord. Can the leper's spots be changed? Yes, sir. Who can change them? Only the Lord. Can you be made to do good who are accustomed to doing evil? Yes, sir. By the power of God's grace. Jonah was shut up in the whale's belly and he cried, salvation is of the Lord. Can Jonah deliver himself? No, sir. Can his friends deliver him? No, sir. Does the church have the power to deliver him? No, sir. Can he be delivered? Yes, sir. Who can deliver him? Only the Lord. When Israel came to the Red Sea with the water in front of them and Pharaoh's forces behind them, Moses cried, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the waters parted and they walked through on dry land. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. In verse 25, the Lord Jesus Christ had been talking about the difficulty of salvation. And the Scripture says that frequently, if the righteous scarcely be saved. And that translation is, if the righteous with difficulty be saved, where shall the ungodly appear? And the disciples said to him, well, Lord, verse 25, Matthew 19, who can be saved? That's a good question, isn't it? Who can be saved? And the Master replied, hear it, and hear it well. With men, it is impossible. It is impossible. The church cannot save, but the Lord can. Good works, the law, doctrines, preachers, priests, sacraments, ordinances, baptism, these things cannot save. With men, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord in its planning. Who planned salvation? Was it conceived in the mind of a man? Did it come out of the councils of the church? The salvation of the righteous was born in the mind of God. Salvation's of the Lord in its planning. It's of the Lord in its execution. Who sent Christ to the cross? God so loved the world, He gave His Son. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Salvation's of the Lord in its application. Who opens the heart of the guilty? Who convinces a man of sin? Who begets life in the dead sinner? Who grants repentance and faith? Faith's the gift of God. Who keeps us by His power? Who providentially brings us to hear the Word? The Lord. Salvation's of the Lord in its continuing power. We're kept by the power of God. And salvation's of the Lord in its completion. The third thing that a sinner can plead, he can plead for mercy. He can plead his misery. He can plead his inability. And he can plead, listen, he can plead his sinfulness. The Lord Jesus said, you're a Gentile dog. She said, that's true. That's true. I'd like to have a quarter for everybody I ever offended by calling them a sinner. I haven't called them dogs. The Bible calls them worms. The Bible calls them vomiting dogs and wallowing sows. That's what the Apostle Peter calls them. I haven't called anybody. All I've said is a man is a sinner by birth. He's a sinner by nature. He's a sinner by choice. He's a sinner by practice. He's a sinner in attitude, in motive, in imagination, in dreams, in thoughts, in deeds, in every way. He's a sinner. But Christ called this woman a dog. And she replied, that's true. There are many things that I don't know about this Bible. There are a lot of things I don't know. But I know one thing. And of this, I am positively sure. And that is the Lord Jesus came to save sinners. And if a man never becomes a sinner, he'll never be saved. I promise you that. Christ said in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save the lost. In the beginning of his life here on this earth, when the angel appeared to Joseph, he said, fear not to take unto thee Mary to be thy wife. That holy thing which is conceived in her is conceived by the Holy Ghost, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I feel sorry for the man who has no sins. You say, what do you mean? Are you proud of your sin? No, sir, I'm ashamed of them. But I'm sure glad I can see them. I'm sure glad I can recognize them. I'm sure glad that God revealed to me that I'm a sinner. Because it says in verse 10 of Romans chapter 5 or verse 6, when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. In verse 8 it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In verse 10 it says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. For whom did Christ die? He didn't die for good people. He died for sinners. He died for the ungodly. He died for enemies. And when our Lord would illustrate this matter Himself, He said two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a religious man and one was a publican. And the religious man stood in the very prominent place. And he cried, God, I thank you I'm not like other men. Now, a while ago, I said, I thank God I'm a sinner. This man, thank God he wasn't. He said, I thank you, I'm not like other men. I go to church, I tithe, I fast, I give alms to the poor. I'm not like this publican. And Christ continued, he said, the publican would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven out of embarrassment, out of shame and guilt, but smote upon his breast and cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And a correct translation of that is, God, let thy blood be propitiation for me on the mercy seat. I'm a sinner. And Christ said, this man who recognized his sin, who owned his sins, who pleaded for mercy, who pleaded his sinfulness, went home justified, forgiven, pardoned. The other man did not. So a sinner can plead his sinfulness. In the fourth place, a sinner can plead the example of others. They call my Lord, and a name that they thought would bring shame to him actually is his greatest glory. They called him the friend of sinners. Mary Magdalena found in him a friend. Nicodemus found an adversary. The woman at the well found in him a friend. The scribes and Pharisees found an opponent. Zacchaeus, the traitor, the tax collector, the cheat, found in him a friend. The rich young ruler turned and walked away. The dying thief found in him a friend. Saul of Tarsus, a friend. Nowhere in the Scripture. Now, you listen to this. If I'm wrong, I want to hear from you. If I'm not wrong, I don't want to hear from you. Nowhere in the Scriptures, not one place, do you ever find any man, woman, boy, or girl being commended to the Lord for His grace based on that person's goodness. Not one single place. Even the moral young man, the young ruler who came to Christ and said that he had kept the commandments from his youth up, heard Christ speak to him in this measure, if you want to prove your morality, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come take up your cross and follow me. And if you can't do that, you stop boasting of your morality. And the young man turned and walked away. The Scripture says, for he had many riches, and he loved them. But all who saw their guilt found in him a friend. All who owned their sins found in him a friend. All who recognized their sinfulness found in him a friend. And then the next thing that a sinner can plead, he can plead the purpose of God. The Father anointed Christ to save sinners. That's what the angel said to Joseph. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. The world was already under the condemnation of God. God sent him to save. That's why he came. And when I come before God asking for mercy, I plead the purpose of God. I plead the will of God. I plead the very plan of God. That's why Christ came. He didn't take upon himself the nature of angels. He took upon himself the nature of the seed of Abraham. He came as the Redeemer. His very name, Jesus, means Savior. And then the Holy Spirit was sent to convince men of sin and reveal Christ the Savior. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 16. Christ said in John 16, verse 8, and when He is come, speaking of the Holy Spirit, and when He is come, this will be His task, He will convince the world of sin. Verse 14, and he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it to you. That's why the Holy Spirit's come. So I can plead the purpose of God. The Father sent the Son. The Son came to save, and the Holy Spirit is given to reveal him. What's the next thing a sinner can plead? He can plead the sacrifice of Christ. As Abel brought the blood offering and put it on those rocks and lifted his eyes to God for acceptance, as Abraham put the lamb on the altar in Isaac's stead, as the holy priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year with the blood of a sacrifice, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so we look alone to the sacrifice of our Lord, who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We plead the blood of the cross. We don't plead the works of the law. We don't plead the deeds of the law. We don't plead the rituals of religion. We don't plead the sacrifices of our self-righteousness. We plead the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. I hear people say that they don't care to hear preaching about the blood. They don't care for this slaughterhouse religion. They don't care for this talk in the pulpit about the blood cleansing and the blood atoning and the blood purifying. My friends, in the natural realm, not talking about the spiritual realm now, but even in the physical realm, blood is a very prominent part of our lives. The shoes I have on are because an animal shed its blood. An animal shed its blood. The food that I sat down at the table and ate this afternoon, my noon meal, was provided by some animal being slain and blood being shed. When one of your loved ones is in an automobile accident and the blood flows out on the pavement, the ambulance comes and picks him up or her up and puts them on a stretcher and puts them in the ambulance, takes them down here to the hospital. What's the first thing they do? They grab that container of that precious, beautiful, life-giving, nourishing blood, and they hang it up on that thing and take a needle and put it in that loved one's arm. I want to hear you say then, as you stand at the foot of that loved one's bed, I don't want to hear about the blood. Every drop of that blood is beautiful as it flows into the veins of that one that's already turned pale and white over loss of blood. He's got to have that blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And as that blood flows into the veins of that loved one, and they take the empty container down, run, put another one up, and more blood flows in, and transfusion after transfusion is given, and after a while that loved one stands up strong and well. Thank God for somebody's blood that was given. Have you ever given a pint of blood? Thank God for the blood. And I'll tell you this. Thank God for the blood of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the blood of Christ. It's that cleansing, life-giving, purifying, soul-atoning blood of Christ that flows into the body of the sinner. Except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, Christ said, you have no life in you. And I plead the blood. I plead the blood. And the seventh thing, quickly, he can plead the intercession of Christ. Christ not only took my nature, Christ not only met the law of God, the perfect law, and obeyed it, Christ not only went to the cross as my substitute and gave me a transfusion, his own blood. He took my disease and gave me life. He took my filth and gave me holiness. He took my hell and gave me heaven. But right now, he pleads in glory for our salvation. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. He prayed for us in the garden. He prayed for us on the cross. Father, forgive them. And the Scripture says in Hebrews 7:25, Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost to come to God by him. Watch it. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. In the hour of trial, Jesus plead for me, lest by base denial I depart from thee. And then last of all, what can the sinner plead? He can plead the gift of faith. The centurion did. The Lord Jesus came to him, and he came to the Master, and he said, "My son's dying, Lord." And the Lord Jesus said, "Well, if you can believe, all things are possible to them who believe." And the centurion said, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." You can pray that, can't you? If you ever are broken by the Spirit of God to recognize your need, if you ever face your misery, if you ever face death and judgment and hell moving up to meet you at your coming, if you ever faced your inability and the fact that Christ alone can make you whole, you can plead the gift of faith. "Lord, I do believe. I have some faith. Help my unbelief." "Ask," he said, "and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you." The songwriter has captured what I'm trying to say in these words. "When pangs of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried. Till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. As Jacob in the days of old, I wrestled with the Lord. An instant with a courage bold, I stood on His word. Old Satan said my Lord was gone, and he would not hear my prayer. But praise the Lord, the work is done, and Christ the Lord is here. I would not be denied. I would not be denied. Till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied." I plead tonight my personal testimony, my misery. I'm tired of sin. I plead my inability. I cannot save myself. I plead the mercy of God, the purpose of God, the blood of Christ, the sacrifice on Calvary. I plead His intercession. He's praying for somebody. And I say, "Lord, pray for me. Pray for this poor sinner." And I plead the gift of faith. I do believe. God knows I believe. But I ask Him to help my unbelief. I can't help it. I can't produce what the flesh cannot produce. It has to be produced by a spiritual gift. God grants faith. As He gave life, give it more abundantly. Our Father, bless the Word. We thank Thee for it. We're unworthy of even the least of Thy mercies. If You gave us justice, You'd plunge us away from Thy presence into eternal hell. But we plead mercy. We plead the blood of Christ. May the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ atone for all our guilt. In His name we pray.